announcement. There's going to be a work party Saturday the 14th at 11 a.m. It's for fall cleanup that we do annually. Rain or shine is my understanding. Just going to get here and get it done. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, it's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this evening, Genesis 24, where we're in verses 10 through 14. I'll just leave it on. It's going to be there in a second anyway. All right, whatever else is going on in your life right now is not the time to be concerned with these things. Now is the time to lay aside the old man, put on the new man, get in fellowship, let God the Holy Spirit have rulership over the real you. Enjoy the spiritual blessings that are attributed to this spiritual condition in our lives, such as RMA, faith rest, and first and foremost, for our purposes this evening, the assimilation to truth of Bible doctrine, apart from distortion of the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for all the provisions that you provide for us to fulfill your plan for our lives as long as we so desire to do so. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 24. Again, the theme is searching for a bride for Isaac. Scene 1 begins verses 2 through 9, whereas Abraham commissions his most trusted, if you will, loyal servant, obviously, that he has, to be the party responsible to go out and look for this unknown person to be Isaac's potential helpmate. And in that regards, the servant obviously has a daunting task, a heavy responsibility that's been placed upon his shoulders. He has sworn not only to Abraham but to Yahweh, the God of heaven and the earth, to fulfill this charge he's been given, commissioned, to the best of his ability. Obviously, we saw that Abraham recognizes that indeed it may not be God's will in regards to this, and that he was free from his oath otherwise. But until that is made obvious, the servant obviously has the responsibility to do due diligence in regards to obeying Abraham's request to find this unknown female that's out there in the world. What he has to fall upon, the servant, in regards to finding this woman, is first and foremost to obey his authority in life, Abraham, and where to look for her versus where not to look for her. As we saw, definitely he is not to look among the cosmic Canaanites female population for a potential mate for Isaac. Reasons obvious, as would be observed in regards to Abraham and their residents living in the middle of Canaan for all these past decades. Where he is to look is from the pool of his ancestors, who have a history and reputation, obviously, of being believers in regards to God's plan regards their lives, albeit they are not the quality of phase 2 population that would be considered to be associated with Abraham and Sarah, as the covenant made very clear in that regards. And as we saw the servant brought out the supposition that if possibly there's not a female there, should he come back and get Isaac and take him back to the woman, or he finds one, she's just not willing to return. In other words, she's hesitant. Back to Nahor, literally Mesopotamia. And Abraham obviously makes it very clear. No uncertain terms. Don't even go that direction in regards to Isaac, as this would obviously be complete disrespect, disobedience, in regards to the very covenant issues at hand, and that is as it falls under doctrine of God's geographical will, obviously, as we would might say, NPR life. And the doctrine of separation as it would otherwise remove Isaac from where he is supposed to be according to God's divine design, and who he is not to be associating with otherwise as a potential hazard to his own life serving God, and this obviously all to enjoy maximum blessing. As then it would be applied to Isaac and his potential mate as husband and wife. So to be obedient, obviously, to Abraham is essential for the success of this servant and his responsibilities upon that. Apart from that, he is told, essentially, to look for divine guidance. And this came about in regards to Abraham's telling him that the angel, that Yahweh would send an angel before him in regards to his endeavors. So he is to utilize his own spiritual attrition, his own spiritual wisdom, etc., in regard to seeking God's will, looking for divine guidance in conjunction with, within the parameters of the do's and don'ts that Abraham has obviously set forward. Now, here in verses 10 through 14, we begin scene number 2. That actually, scene 2 is verses 10 through 27, and it is a scene that is at the well of Aram Naharaim, Mesopotamia, in other words. So here, verses 10 through 14, as it picks up here in this scene, we have the servant's departure after being commissioned, and prayer then for a sign. All right, let's look here at the Hebrew. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master. You have the wow consecutive. Our verb to take here is a cow in perfect third masculine singular, lakak. L-A-Q-A-C-H. The servant, definite article with our noun for servant, abed, eved, E-B-E-D, common masculine singular, absolute. 10 camels. Our number 10 is the adjective feminine singular absolute, Asara, Sarah, A-S-A-R-A-H, followed with our noun for camels, common masculine plural absolute, Gamal, G-A-M-A-L. And these 10 camels came from the herd, obviously the property owner of the camels, from the camels of his master, a unit out of the larger unit. From is a preposition men, are noun for camels, repeated, common masculine plural, construct them all. Here in the construct, camels of his masters, we had the common masculine plural construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix, our noun for master, Adon, A-D-O-N, usually referred to as Adonai. Again, we see it in the plural, his masters. And obviously, before we saw the context of the plural there, looking at the authorities to whom he was swearing, not only Abraham, but God, Yahweh. Here, masters has a little different nuance, as it would look at, obviously, Isaac also being authority as the heir of Abraham's estate. So, and he set out after he gets the caravan together to engage in this endeavor, and he set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. While consecutive, our verb to set out is literally to walk, is a Cal Imperfect Third Masculine Singular, our typical verb halak, H-A-L-A-K. You have the while conjunction then, and follow with the common masculine singular noun, construct our word for each or every, all, kol, K-O-L, and each of, literally the good things of his masters. You have the follow with the noun, common masculine singular, construct our word, our noun for good is tov, T-O-V. Again, masters is adon, common masculine plural, construct third masculine singular suffix. In his hand is the preposition bet. In his possession is the idea. His hand is the common masculine singular construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix yad, Y-A-D. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he arose is the wow consecutive, verb cal imperfect, followed with the verb cal imperfect, third masculine singular, our verb kum, arise, Q-U-M. Pictures him getting on the camel and getting up and going, basically. And went to Mesopotamia, while consecutive. Again, our verb to walk, went, as it may be translated, halak, H-A-L-A-K, cal imperfect, third masculine singular here. To Mesopotamia, preposition L, E-L, to. Then Mesopotamia, literally in the Hebrew, as we noted in our heading, proper noun, Aram Naharim, A-R-A-M, N-A-H-A-R-A-Y-I-M, Naharim, Aram Naharim. Specifically, in the geographical location, to the city of Nahor. A preposition L repeated, E-L. City is your common masculine singular construct noun, ear, I-Y-R. Then Nahor, name of Abraham's brother, proper noun, Nahor. Verse 11. He has arrived now, and he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He made the camels kneel down. You have the wow consecutive. Then you have the hifil verb, imperfect third masculine singular, the verb berek, B-E-R-E-K, literally a knee, and he caused to kneel down, literally. The camels, definite article, our noun, gamal, repeated, common masculine plural, absolutely with the definite article. Outside the city, you had the preposition men followed with our common masculine singular noun, construct kutz, C-H-U-T-S, from outside, towards the city, the literal Hebrew preposition lamed, as you're facing the city, is outside it. Definite article, our noun, ear, city again, common feminine singular absolute. By the well of, or at the well of, preposition L. Then our noun, common feminine singular construct. Well is Be'er, B-E-E-R. Well of water, definite article, common masculine plural noun, absolute. Mayim, M-A-Y-I-M, well of water. Then you have the preposition lamed, followed with the common, both genders, singular, construct noun, our word for time, eth, E-T-H, at the time of, here, evening, sun setting, cool today is setting in, common masculine singular absolute, our noun, erev, erev, E-R-E-B. Then you have the preposition lamed, Followeth our now for time again at the time of the women going out to draw water. You had the cal infinity construct yatsa, yatsa, at the time of going out. When women are drawing water, a little awkward in English, but that's literal Hebrew. When women are drawing, here obviously contextually what they're drawing is water, cal participle, feminine plural absolute, denoting that it's an ongoing habit of the women in this regard, shav, S-H-A-A-B. So what's the first thing he does? Start checking them out. Now, first thing he does is pray. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham. You have the wow consecutive followed with the verb cal and perfect third masculine singer, our verb to say, amar, A-M-A-R, followed with the proper noun, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, Lord, the God of my master, Abraham. God is your common masculine plural construct noun, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. The God of my master is, again, our noun, Adon, A-D-O-N, here as a common masculine, here in the singular construct, with the first common singular suffix, followed with proper noun, Abraham. First we have petition, then we have intercession. Please grant me success today. You have here the hifil imperative masculine singular, our verb kara, Q-A-R-A-H. It means cause to occur, make it happen. See, grant, as is translated. Now or please is the interjectory particle na, N-A. Me is the preposition lamed, followed with the common masculine plural noun construct with the first common singular suffix, a word for face, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. Literally, before my presence. He wants... This needs to be seen. It needs to be experienced in regards to this prayer. Before my face, before my presence. Today is the definite article, followed with the common masculine singular absolute noun, our word for day, yom, this day. And then the intercessory part, wow conjunction. And our verb to show is our typical verb to do. Cal imperative masculine singer verb asah, A-S-A-H. Show loving kindness. Loving kindness is our common masculine singer noun absolute, chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. We've seen this before. A loyal love, loving kindness, kind of an abstract meaning, but you can get a handle on it. To my master, or if you will, with my master, in association with, is the idea. You have the preposition im, I am, with my master. Again, don, here in the singular, common masculine singular construct with the first common singular suffix. Abraham, the noun provided. Verse 13, he continues here in his prayer, behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Behold is your interjectory particle henna, H-I-N-N-E-H. I myself, emphatic, use of the pronoun, first common singular, Anoki, A-N-O-K-I-Y. Am standing is the nifal participle, masculine singular, absolute, not sob, N-A-T-S-A-B. And you would think standing would be active. That's what he's doing, but it's here in the passive. And the idea is, this gives you clues in your interpretation. He sees divine providence for where he's at. God placed him there. See, these verses will completely chunk out the idea of chance, you know, bad luck. Somehow God was asleep a couple nights ago in Las Vegas. No, he wasn't. See. Las Vegas never sleeps, but they hold nothing over God not ever sleeping. This is the last days, man. No telling what we're going to see before it's all said and done. The first thing that sparked my mind, peace and safety. We are arriving at that time where you can expect that cry to start becoming louder and louder if the prophecy's right. Behold, I am standing in the passage by the spring. You have the preposition all, A-L, literally be upon, hence it's at the top of the edge of the spring. That's brought out, followed with the common both singular construct noun, ayin, not really translated in the Hebrew, A-Y-I-N, literally I, at the source of where the water's at, in the spring or well, the source of water, translated by the spring, definite article, common masculine plural, absolute noun, mayim, the water, M-A-Y-I-M, and the daughters of the men of the city, while conjunction, are now for daughters, common feminine plural construct, bath, B-A-T-H, the daughters of the men of the city, the men of is a common masculine plural construct, are a noun for men is ish, I-S-H. Women is ishasha. The city, definite article, and then our noun ear, repeated here, I-Y-R, as a common feminine singular absolute. Our coming out, the cal participle, feminine plural absolute, yatsa, Y-A-T-S-A. To draw, literally, here, obviously, water from the well or from the spring. Preposition lamed with the cal infinitive construct shav, S-H-A-A-V, and literally puts in the noun for water, mayim, common masculine plural absolute in this case. Verse 14. So he identifies where he's at. And then he now sends out particulars in regards to what he wants to see happen before him. Now, may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink. While consecutive, follow with the cal, perfect third masculine singular, our verb come to pass, hayah, Y-H-A-Y-A-H. Let it come to pass, translated, now may it be. The girl is the definite article, followed with the common feminine singular noun absolute, na'ara, N-A-A-R-A-H. Literally, a youthful girl, a younger girl, not an older senior type, or even middle-aged. One would be 20s, 30s, in that area. The youthful girl, the appropriate age for marrying here, for a single young man, 37 years of age, Isaac. Of whom, really pronoun is share, A-S-H-E-R. May it come to pass, the youthful girl of whom I will say to her. That's your literal Hebrew. I will say is your verb amar, A-M-A-R, as a cal imperfect, first common singular. To her is your preposition el, E-L with the third feminine singular suffix. let down your jar so that I may drink. To let down is the hifil imperative, feminine singular verb natha, N-A-T-H-A-H. Literally means to stretch the arm. Here, obviously, the jar is going to go descend towards the ground, so stretch, let down. Stretch your arm with the jar in her hand otherwise. Please or now, again, our introductory particle, na, N-A. Your jar is the common feminine singular construct, but the second feminine singular suffix, our noun for jar, is kad, or kad, K-A-D. And let me drink, vowel conjunction. Kal, imperfect, first common singular, here is a cohortative, hence let me, our verb, shatha, S-H-T-H-A-H. And then the particulars is extended. He wants a specific response. And who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. You have the wow consecutive, followed with our verb to say. Who responds, cow, perfect third feminine singular. Obviously, the female, the young girl, as a feminine. Who answers, drink is your verb shatha here as a cow imperative. Responds in a positive way, S-H-A-T-H-A-H. And in the Hebrew, also first comes, you have the vowel conjunction, followed with the conjunction gam, G-A-M, and also your camels. Common masculine plural construct with the second masculine singular suffix, gamal, G-A-M-A-L. I will cause to give drink to, I will water, as we would say. Hifil, imperfect, first common singular, shakah, S-H-A-Q-A-H. And with those prerequisites attached to her actions, he goes on, may she be the one of whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. You have the sign of direct object, followed with the third sign of direct object with the third feminine singular suffix, F. That girl, literally, she as the object here, E-T-H. Whom you have appointed is the hifil, perfect second masculine singular of our verb yachach, yachach, Y-A-K-A-C-H, means to decide, judge, appoint, cause to appoint, for your servant Isaac, preposition lamed, follow with our noun for servant, common masculine singular construct, the second masculine singular suffix of ed, E-B, E-D. For Isaac, preposition lamed, proper noun, Isaac. And by this, with an answer to his prayer in this regards, by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Well, conjunction, followed with a preposition, third feminine singular suffix, bet, literally, and by her, the feminine suffix. I will know is your cow imperfect first common singular yada, Y-A-D-A. That is your conjunction key, K-I-K-I-Y. You have shown is your verb of saw again, what he does, A-S-A-H. Here, cow perfect second masculine singular, you have shown. Kesed, loyal love, the noun repeated here, common masculine singular, absolute, C-H-E-S-E-D. To my master, with my master, preposition M, I am. Adon here, again in the singular, common masculine struck with the first common singular suffix, A-D-O-N. Rereading the five verses here, 10 through 14. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master's, in the plural, in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, or to Aram Naharaim. And he made camels, verse 11, kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please cause to happen before me success today, and show chesed, or loving kindness, to my master Abraham. Verse 13, behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Verse 14, now may it be that it come to pass that the girl to whom I say, please stretch down your arm with your jar so that I may drink. That's the idea. And who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I shall know that you have shown chesed, loving kindness, to my master. All right, let's take a look at these verses. Now this is verses 10 through 14. 1. The unnamed servant makes immediate preparation to carry out Abraham's orders, wasting no time to get on the road. He's obviously the type of person that doesn't procrastinate. He gives the oath, makes the oath to Abraham, and he wastes no time in setting about to fulfill his promise to God and Abraham and his responsibilities otherwise in that respect. 2, a fairly large caravan here is assembled in order to accommodate not only that to be taken that they have with them on the trip, but for additional passengers and goods that might be needed on the return trip. Looking at potential success, obviously he's going to have at least one more person to come back. We know all the shoes and clothes that they like to have, so you're going to need room for that. Obviously kidding. But it would not be unusual. She had her own servants, see, and her own entourage that would be part of this thing. So he obviously is thinking ahead, and he prepares appropriately in order to handle the situation on both ends of the case of going as well as coming back. So 3, now 10 camels from the camels of his master, master literally, Asarah, Gamal, Men, Gamal, Adon, are estimated to be able to carry 400 pounds each, along with a passenger, with a strong camel able to carry as much as 990 pounds in total. 10 camels, U.S. unit of measurement, known as a short ton, is about 2,000 pounds. Long ton, how they measure in Europe, about 2,240 pounds. Either way, no matter how you slice it or dice it, there's quite a few tons of goods, passengers, that is able to be transported as they are passing people on the right and left, honking their camel horns, and everybody's going, look at that convoy. He's probably on his radio up front going, hey, you hear me back there? Yeah. Okay. I like to have a little fun on occasion. But either way, the capability, even at the minimum, of how much can be transported. is fairly outstanding, even in terms of today's moving of goods. You need more than quarter ton pickup, probably the haul all this. Four, so this gives the reader an idea of how much of, quote, a variety of good things, simply kol tov in the Hebrew, end quote, was compiled in the form of gifts to the prospective bride and family. A custom is customary for the bridegroom to endow family with goods, wealth, etc. And often it would be returned in no uncertain fashion in regards to the bride, especially if the dad's ready to get rid of her. So you figure, you know, whatever trinkets, figure any metals, precious metals, other types of goods that may be inquired. Obviously, we know Abraham was a very wealthy individual, and this is no stingy man when it comes to applying giving, especially as it would be for finding a bride, potential bride for Isaac. So five, these were used as betrothal gifts from the prospective groom's family. And that such a large dowry is offered demonstrates the vast wealth of which God had blessed Abraham. A couple of tons to dump on the lucky woman. Oh, there's that word, lucky woman. No, the right woman. Six, that the camels and possessions are also considered Isaac's property in tandem with his father. It's noted in the plural use of Adon, literally masters, in verses 10a and b. Again, as I wrote out in our parsing, camels of his masters in the plural, good things of his masters in the plural. So it obviously looks at Isaac's position to inherit. He is the promised heir. And the property is considered as good as his. Obviously, as long as Abraham's alive, he'll have to say on what is done with it. But still, it is considered to be part of his financial portfolio. Isaac's too. Seven, the trust of both Abraham and Isaac in this man now becomes completely obvious, as he has charge of all this wealth and is left to his own with adequate transportation to abandon the mission at whim. No telling how much wealth is really here. It is enough to set somebody up for life, basically. Especially if it's precious metals and jewels and things of that nature. And it really shows how much they trust this guy as they give him this account of wealth, all the transportation he needs, any help he might need otherwise, and he's going to be gone for quite a while. And he could easily disappear out in the middle of nowhere if he so chose. Said, I've had enough of this. Oh, look at this. Abraham's rich. He's got enough money. He can go back and do this all over again. He doesn't need me. See, whatever STA may pop in and try to trip somebody up. But, obviously, he is not that type of character. The man's virtues, his integrity, is intact. It is put in the vault and locked away, basically, in his own thinking of his loyalty to Abraham and Bible doctrine. It's the kind of guy we are dealing with. So the trust obviously becomes obvious now. Give somebody your account number and the freedom to draw from it, you know. And you're a multi-millionaire and the account has, you know, literally millions in it. Oh, we hear stories in regards to people that are given access, that are trusted, and find out that they're not quite as trustworthy as they thought. He spends a couple hundred thousand on wine every month. He's not going to miss $50,000 here and there. Who's that? Who's that, you say? Spends that kind of money. You have to read up. Eight, the general destination here for the trip is the Fertile Crescent, translated Mesopotamia here in English. And the specific target is the city of Nahor, Ir Nakhor, most probably southeast of Haran. All right. We go back. In Genesis 11, 31 through 32. And there we saw that when Abram, first left Ur of the Chaldees, he only, in his first leg, made it as far as Haran, where his father determined, oh, we're going to settle down here. This is close enough, or whatever. And God had to kill him. Well, from that point on, then Abraham obviously moves on into the land of Canaan. And somewhere, sometime after the fact, the remainder of his immediate family, his brother Nahor, specifically, as he was still alive, Haran's dead, relocated basically in that direction. Nine, now the Hebrew reads Mesopotamia as Aram Naharaim. That means Aram of the two rivers. Let's see. See if I got a map that'll show us here a little bit where we're at. Yeah. This is pretty close. Here's to the east of Canaan, Canaan being up here, top left-hand corner. Euphrates River runs down. Haran is seen here on this map to be right there. Where they're headed to is probably somewhere down in this location. Immediately south of there, where two rivers meet, Habor on the east side. There are better maps out there. In fact, it may be even closer back down here, calling now. In that general vicinity, that's about the best map I've got on this one. But we're looking east, southeast from where they're at in Canaan. So 11, this distance from Hebron would be some 300 miles, as I stated, east-southeast, and would be at least a month-long trip for the caravan. 10 camels. It's going to take a little while to get there. So 12, Abraham's surviving brother Nahor had relocated to this area sometime after Abraham's departure from Ur, moving to Canaan. From Haran, literally, in that regards. Here, Nahor at this location, is what we're saying. Nahor fathers sons and daughters. The details that we saw mentioned earlier in the narrative shortly after the sacrifice of Isaac episode in Genesis 22:20-24, that gave us an introduction, a preliminary introduction to what's happening now in chapter 24. There we saw Nahor from his wife Milcah, Uz, Buz, Kemuel, Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Gildath, and Bethuel. And then Bethuel fathered Rebekah, the woman of interest. And then his concubine, Ruma, had Tiba, Gaham, Tahash, and Maaka. So, is in this general location where Nahor relocates, sets up his permanent residence, more or less, and determines to live and raise his family. So, 14, now the servant arrives at his destination, as the verse jumps basically a month ahead in time here, toward evening time. That's your F Arab in the Hebrew, time of evening, where he parks his camels just outside the city by the well of water. Outside the city by the well of water, Min Kutz Lamed Ha'ir El Be'er Ha'mayim. 15, the arrival of the caravan at this time of day was fortuitous, as it was when women arrived to draw water, sha'av, our term sha'av, to draw from the public cistern, from the public spring made available for all to partake of as needed. So by fortuitous, we mean the timing couldn't have been any better. And this really starts to zone in now in regards to God being in control of this situation. It's so much of it will do with timing, along with obviously the obedience of the servant otherwise in this respect. So it wasn't that he just happened to be there. Obviously he probably planned to a certain degree, as much as he could, but to be exact at that time would obviously be a stretch. It's not like you can time 60 miles an hour for an hour on a stretch of road and know exactly your ETA. So, indeed, it is fortuitous. The timing, God's hand was in it. So the arrival of the caravan at this time of day, point 15, was fortuitous, as it was when women arrived to draw water from the public cistern. 16, particularly young and unmarried women, as indicated in the prayer servant's prayer, verse 14, the youthful girl, our noun with the definite article, ha, na, ara, confer Genesis 29:10. It came about when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob went up and rolled a stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. The girl, young girl, she was young at that point in time. Exodus 2:16. That's used in regards to Rachel. And now the priest of Midian has seven young daughters, or daughters in their prime of age, if you will. They came to draw water and fill the troughs of water of their father's flock. They didn't send grandma down to do it if they had a young daughter otherwise. 17, after resting the animals, having them take a knee, which if you've seen shows and movies with camels, that's basically how they will sit down to rest. They'll fold down on their knees. Looks like it hurt to me, but that's the way they do it. And after resting the animals, having them take a knee, our term berek, then the servant begins to pray. That's verses 12 through 14. First thing he does is to go to the throne of grace for help in the matter at hand. 18. Now, first of all, his prayer was not audible. We know that per verse 45. As later he's explaining what happened previously, he said, "Before I had finished speaking in my heart," that's his prayer to God. Verse 42. "Speaking in my heart," so it's silent. You don't have to get up and yell out your prayers within your mind, within your thinking. God reads that. He hears that just as loud as you were speaking out loud. So obviously prayer is greatly abused too, as we know, among Christians, etc., and others. And certain mystique is placed upon it. But in regards to God hearing, you don't have to speak out loud. You don't have to be the one that verbalizes the things. You can pray within and God hears. So his prayer was not audible. He gets there. He makes sure the camels are down resting. And in his mind, in his thinking, he starts shooting up this prayer. So 19, as we pointed out, the prayer is both petition, that is beseeching God on behalf of the individual that is praying, and then intercessory, that is praying on behalf of another, so for self and another. Under the doctrine of prayer, as we understand prayer, other aspects of prayer is thanksgiving. We are to be thankful in regards to things in our life. There is imprecatory prayer. That is praying that God's judgment, justice be done upon certain evil types, etc. 20. Now he addresses deity here as Yahweh, God of my master Abraham. Elohim Adon, with our proper noun Yahweh. Again, master is in the singular, as I point out here. Abraham. In whose service he was a most committed servant. Service both to his master Abraham as well as Yahweh, his God, his master's God. The phrase, "O Lord, O Yahweh," indicates he had a personal relationship with God. He is close, rather than just the more common noun of God, Elohim. He refers to him in a personal way, Yahweh. He's praying that way, but you hear this mysticism among certain Jews that you should never say this word out loud, or that type of verbal aspect in regards to God. Obviously, he's doing it in his heart. But the Old Testament believers freely employed God on these terms. Obviously, the way we pray today is addressing the Father. That is a proper protocol. But here, for this servant, Yahweh, denotes a very close personal relationship. He's not foreign to praying. Yeah, it's not like he's in a bind here and now all of a sudden he's going to pray. No, he prays a lot already. He knows exactly what he's after in this prayer. He's thought it through. He's got the doctrine of his soul. He knows exactly how he's going to approach God. And it is one of companionship. Is seen in the words. He considers God close to him and ready to go before him. So 22, now the first half of this general petition is, quote, "Please grant me success today," which is Na Kara Lamed Paneh Hayom. end quote, or literally, quote, make it occur or happen in front of me today. 23, the second intercessory half is then, and show loving kindness to my master Abraham, while I saw Kesed in Adon Abraham. Obviously, there's more than one reason why he includes Abraham in regards to this, but you can see the wisdom behind this guy. He's drawn upon all positive volition he can get a hold of for a God to respond in a favorable way to him. And it's all this is an acknowledgement that of his subservience to the man that God has placed in his life as his spiritual authority. That's Abraham, the prophet. And to have him in the mix of his prayer is wise indeed, as it not only is a petition for positive volition itself, but other positive volition that's a part of this whole situation. 24, now loving kindness, our term kesed, emphasizes grace in its expression, and assume steadfast loyalty. In the previous uses, you can put the uses together and have the more complete picture of what this kesed means. Genesis 39, 21. You see the word term, the term used. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Loyal love. It's used in that vein there in that context. Then Genesis, the two previous uses, Genesis 20:13. Remember addressing this word back then. It came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house, and I said to her, this is the loyal love which you shall show to me, Abraham to Sarah, into being loyal to him as her right man, to engage in this scheme to keep him from getting killed in his mind. Everywhere he goes, say of me, he is my brother. And then back compared to 21:23, Abimelech to Abraham, now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but according to the loyal love that I have shown to you, the kesed. There, the emphasis looks at the grace, the extension of grace by Abimelech to Abraham in favor, forgiveness for lying to him, basically deceiving him in that regards. As well as all the other things he has done on the part of Abraham to benefit him in his own life, pick where he wants to live, things of this nature. So the term encompasses a couple of different ideas. There's certain terms like that in the Bible, like heart. That one's fairly abstract. It may refer to the soul, the mind, the thinking. Where one is at in their thinking of the present. You know, so you just kind of have to field it in its context. And here, this is God showing this to Abraham, so we know it's divine loving kindness at the very least. And God's loyalty and extension of grace is seen in supporting Abraham's continued endeavors and blessing him. So 25, the servant appeals to steadfast love in his solicitation to God's blessing in the matter at hand. God's loyalty to his word, his plan, as it is executed towards positive volition, his authority in that respect. All right, well, pick up on this word Thursday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God and the Holy Spirit to continue to light and see things. In Jesus' name, amen.